Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is episode 18. And this week we're talking about the Borderlands experience. And for those of you who don't know about Borderlands, that is a role-playing shooter.
It has some platform elements in it.
Yes. Welcome, Jamie. I am your host, Lindsay Mosley, Editor-in-Chief of Gaming Insurrection. And that was Associate Editor Jamie Mosley.
Yep, platform elements.
It does have platform elements. I was going to get to that in a minute, but it does have platforming elements. So, what is Borderlands? Now, I mean, I asked that question the very first time we saw it in GameStop, and, you know, it was like February or so, I think. Was it February?
Yeah, it was February. I actually got Borderlands on February the 14th, so that was about the time. It was a nice Valentine's Day gift and everything, but Borderlands is a first-person shooter with RPG. You got a lot of role-playing games, aspects of it. You get to level up, go around looking for more experience, job classes, things like that, and, yeah, platform elements.
Yeah, I dislike the platform elements of it. We're going to get to our likes and dislikes in a minute, but it's an adventure role-playing shooter with platforming elements. It's not necessarily a hop and bop platformer, and those of you who've also read our print edition and read our web edition, you see our stories, I call stuff hop and bop. It's not a Mario. It's not a Mario platformer. But you're going to do some jumping, you're going to do some killing, I mean, you're going to have to do some running.
You do a lot of killing.
Oh yes, killing is the name of the game here in Borderlands.
It is a first person shooter.
Yeah, speaking of which, a guy I used to work with, Mike Humbert, is playing Borderlands on PC, and said that he told me this morning that they trademarked Border Worlds for I guess the next game. They trademarked the name for it.
I can believe that. There's been lots of rumors ever since I've been playing on the console, and people who don't know, the console is a little different than the PC, and it's not storyline wise or anything, it's different, but the guns that you have on the PC is much more, I would say probably more advanced, since you get to create your own on a PC versus to what you have on consoles. Now, the consoles used to be able to modify your weapons, but
yeah,
there were a lot of people who were doing some really server-breaking things to their weapons, so they had to be put out, you know, and it just take a few people to ruin it for everyone, but that's what happens. But
Well, the modified thing, that was crazy, because we were watching that video on YouTube where the guy had the gun that shot like 12,000 shots in one shot. Yeah, like, he fired his gun, and in one burst, it had like 12,000 projectiles on screen. Like, it looked like that one scene in Hero. If you've ever seen the Jet Li film Hero, where they're fighting him and, I can't think of the woman's name. Saved my life right now. She's an awesome actress. They were on the roof, and they're in the red, I think it is. It might be the red, and they're, like, fighting, and all the guys in the king's army, like, shoot these arrows at them, and it's just a hail of arrows. That's what it looked like.
Well, with that one, it was... With that particular gun, it was 12,000 shots, and that came out of that trigger. But the problem was,
It slowed the game down
because once you press the trigger, I think the person had like 36 shots on there. So you press the trigger, and automatically all 36 shots came out. So it was 12,000 bursts, then another 12,000 right behind it, another 12,000. And Borderlands is not one of those games just to kind of skimp on the numbers. Yeah. It actually counts out every single burst. So if it's 12,000 in that one burst, 12,000 will come out. So it starts slowing down because it had 12,000 bursts that were coming out. So it started counting it up as it was going out. And that kind of thing will shut down servers.
Yeah.
So,
well, his game literally slowed to a crawl. Yes. As a matter of fact, it kind of just paused. And you could see all of the shots in the air. Because he shot it up in the air. But I was like, why would you do that? Like, I mean...
Because you'll kill everything in that area that you fired at.
Yes, that's true. But okay, check this out, though. Check this out. That's like, you see what Sledge's shotgun does. And you guys, y'all ain't got the Sledge yet. You probably have gotten the Sledge. Because Sledge is like the midpoint of the game, right?
Yes.
Pretty much if you're going through the campaign mode.
As you're going through the campaign, you know, in order to get... And the worlds of platformers, in order to get to the next level, you got to beat Sledge. So, Sledge has a gun that has a 10,000 round burst, but it only fires two bursts of 10,000.
Yeah.
So, it'll be 10,000, 10,000. It comes out so quick that it doesn't slow down the game because there's no elements involved. And most people don't realize on Borderlands, if you've never played it, that each weapon... has a potential to have a percentage of getting a element on there, like fire, acid, you got lightning on there, and you got explosive on there. Well, if you add Sledge's shotgun, and there's variants of it that won't be called Sledge shotgun, but it has a 10,000 round burst. But if you put fire on there, it's 10,000 round burst, plus you got to add the fire onto it. So each round has to have fire on it, which adds more slowdown time for a load-up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the modified weapons, you can have a 10,000 round burst with fire, lightning, and acid all in that burst at the same time.
Oh.
So that is what slows it down when you have the 10,000 round burst, plus each round on that burst has to have elements on it, all three elements.
Ooh.
So that's what slows it down.
I see. Okay, so I didn't realize you could add it to individual bullets.
Yes, yes. When you put it on, you actually equip it to the gun itself. And
yeah.
You can actually have a shotgun that fires acid, fire. It can do acid, fire, and lightning. And each round that comes out will have that before they decide to change that. Each round will have that. But they changed it now, and you now have a gun, it's called a Chimera, that fires and it rotates the elements now, so it won't mess that up. So.
Ooh, I want a Chimera. I haven't even gotten one.
Well,
you can't get those unless you're fighting Cromorex, right?
They're usually level 60-something. No, you can find them anywhere. You just gotta be level 60-something before you get them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Sledge's shotgun is nasty. Now, I've seen the beauty that is Sledge's shotgun in action. We went to go fight Cromorex together, which we play on the Versus co-op together all the time. Because I don't have an Xbox Live Gold account. I have just, you know, the standard silver that everyone has by default. But once I get the Gold account, then I'll probably get online and play with some of James's friends here. But I have played the Versus co-op from the beginning with James once I started playing, because it took a couple of months before I even started playing. But once we got there and we're going, and he got Sledge's shotgun, because I was like, man, I don't want no old bunky gun that shoots two shots and I gotta reload, because I'm all about some shotguns. Okay, I'm like all about shotguns. But I was like, man, I don't want a bunky gun that wants to shoot two shots. Like, what the hell is that? Like, what does that do? And then I saw Sledge's shotgun in action. See, I didn't get shot by Sledge's shotgun because Sledge didn't shoot me. Sledge sent his little minions out to shoot me. So, Jamie took care of Sledge while I was taking care of little minions. And, you know, it was the very first time I was playing, so I was kind of nervous. And I'm, like, hanging back and using my sniper rifle because I'm all about some sniper rifles, too. But, so I didn't feel the beauty that was Sledge's shotgun. No, it wasn't until we fought Skagzilla that I saw the beauty of Sledge's shotgun. Just briefly describe what happened when you used Sledge's shotgun on Skagzilla that first time we played together.
Well, first off, people who have not played Borderlands must understand that Borderlands is wrapped in everything that's been popular in any kind of cult whatsoever, film,
mm-hmm.
Been big in America at any point in time. Probably at some point in time in our, I guess, brief history within the 70s all the way up until now. It ended up on Borderlands somehow. Yeah. Skagzilla, of course, is a cross with the Skags, which are like the dog reptiles of the planet. And it's a play on Godzilla. He's really large. He does shoot he has a thermonuclear breath that comes out and everything. But he's, I'll say, probably about three, four times your size. Well, with Sledge's shotgun, only do two shots. And that is not you press the trigger twice to do two shots. You press the trigger once and does two shots and you automatically reload. It's an automatic shotgun. So you press the trigger, pow, pow, and that's what you get. Now, the accuracy on it is absolutely zero. So the best way to be extremely effective is someone had to be between 5 to 6 inches away from you. That way they can feel the full effect of the 10,000 burst that's coming from it. And no one usually survives the first hit from it. You reload, usually if they do survive, and there are some badasses, and I say badasses because that's their title, there's some badasses out there that might survive a 10,000 round burst from the first time. But they will be stunned, and you will reload, and you fire the next shot, and they're dead before the second one. Not only will they die, but they will go flying off into the distance depending on where you aimed them. So, with Sledge's shotgun, we're going against Skagzilla. Skagzilla was just about to drop. I walked over, and I calmly said, "I got him." And Skagzilla is in this huge pen because, for some reason, Ernest is, I guess, sacrificing people up to him for the big game hunt, which is the name of the mission when you go fight Skagzilla, the big game hunt. So I say, "I got him." I go over there with Skag, with Sledge's shotgun.
And I'm standing in the back now. I'm standing in the back with my little sniper rifle, and I'm like, "Man, how you gonna shoot him? Sledge's shotgun sucks." I'm just talking all this noise back there. I'm a siren, by the way. I was completely a siren, because my first character was a siren. And you were what, Hunter? You were playing as Mordecai, weren't you?
Yeah, I think
was that Richie Rich?
Yeah, I think I was playing Mordecai. We called him Richie Rich.
Yeah, that's our character, Richie Rich.
All he did was drop money for everybody.
With Bloodwing.
But I pulled out Sledge's shotgun. I got between 3 to 5 inches of him, and I fired a 2-round burst. And Skagzilla went flying completely out the arena.
He said, "What you doing with that gun, little boy?"
Now, although I say that, and it says the accuracy of the gun is zero, but the burst range is so wide and everything, you know, anything can get hit in it. Now, it's been known, with friends of mine, they see me shoot Mothrak, which is, of course, you know, Mothra, a play on Mothra, but Mothrak was flying in the air, which I shot down with Sledge's shotgun and flew up in the air and got stuck.
Yeah, she got straight stuck. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at, I'm playing now. And my character, I scroll up and I'm looking up in the sky. I'm like, "Damn, dude, Mothrak's like stuck. Is she coming back down anytime soon?" Nope. And he's like, "No, no, you better go collect the loot that's on the ground because she ain't coming back." But that Skagzilla, when you shot Skagzilla, what was it that I said? Because I was like,
I don't remember.
What the hell happened to Skagzilla? Where'd he go?
He went outside. Yeah, he flew over there. He just flew up the rim. Yeah.
He flew square over the wall. I was like, where did Skagzilla go? And he was like, "He went over the wall." I was like, "What you mean he went over the wall? The animal cleared the wall."
Now for Borderlands, those who haven't played it,
the physics are kind of crazy sometimes.
It's a fairly lengthy game, but not extremely long. If you're, you know, looking for Final Fantasy type long, you won't have that here.
Yeah.
But for a first person shooter, for RPG, you can get leveled up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Borderlands is, like most platformers, you get to play through it again.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, and there is a problem. One, you do the same missions, which is fine because by now you should know where everything's at. Two, everyone's much stronger and they all come with better weapons. And even the weapons, such as Sledge's shotgun, comes by the second time, is more improved. But after you beat the game the second time, you can go through the whole game and just open up, you know, and go wherever you want to. And everyone still is much stronger. the regular game before you get the download content of the Secret Army of General Knox. The level cap is 50. Well, there are badasses on there. I'm sorry, they're called super bads at that time. I guess technically the third time you're playing around through it, you don't have any missions through it, but they're called super bads, and their level cap is at 51. Now you go through and you get Sledge's shotgun, because Sledge is 51 while you're 50, and Sledge's shotgun does 225 times 12 points of damage.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of damage.
Theoretically, that's the best shotgun. I got a level 61 character, and I don't think I use Sledge shotgun with it now, because I have a gun now that does 210 times 11, plus it does acid damage, so I don't think about it anymore. But 225 times 12 is a lot of damage when you're using a shotgun when someone's between 5 to 6 inches away from you, usually means they're going to die.
Well, at least 225 times 10 is 2250. So you can imagine you're going to add another 225, what is that, 550? 450? Yeah, 450. So really, I think you're doing like 2650 or no, probably like, let me think. I'm not great with math, folks. That's why I'm a journalist.
Well, the thing about Sledge shotgun is you get the full...
I know that's a lot of damage, though.
you get the full effect if it's 225 times 12. All that damage goes straight into the person when you're like 5 to 6 inches away from them. But the further back you are, the less likely you're going to get the full 225 times 12.
Yeah, you're not going to get nowhere near that much.
You might. I mean, as many times I've hit people and maybe one of the... one of the shotgun spreads that hit him, or one of the buckshots that hit him, and I've seen 4,000 come up on him.
Okay,
That's not a critical.
Well, so. The 225 times 12, that's 2,700.
Yes.
Yeah, I would expect that somebody would die. Now, I have seen that where it's been like 4,000. You're doing like 5,000 a hit, and there ain't no critical hit.
Well, the thing about it is because the game also has part of the role-playing element of it is you get to build up your proficiency with each weapon type. So, as you're building up your proficiency, you automatically start doing more damage.
Yeah.
So, the base damage for Sledge's shotgun is 225 times 12. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got someone who specializes in a shotgun, like, say, for instance, Roland, who's a soldier who throws down a turret, which you can use all... Yeah, you can use all day long. There's a lot of stuff you can do with Roland.
Game-breaking.
There's really too much stuff to really go into when it goes to versus things on that. But if you got Roland who specializes and he's got skills that he can put into to increase the damage of his shotgun that he uses, and he can also increase the spread of the shotgun that he's using to make more of a damage to it. And then you add that to his proficiency where his shotgun proficiency is maxed out level, is up to level 50, then I think he does... I think it's 20% more damage on the shotgun with that too. So,
wow,
that's crazy. It gets kind of crazy once you get your proficiencies up.
Yeah, and see the thing about the badasses when we're saying the badasses being a level higher than you in this game, someone being a level higher than you makes a difference. There have been some games where you know you can fight somebody who's a level higher than you in RPG or whatever, and that don't really mean nothing. You know, like, you can still beat them. Like, if you go and, say you in Pokemon, and you using somebody who's like a level 50 Blastoise, and you got a level 51 Blastoise, or a level 49 Blastoise, I mean, like, you're not going to do that much difference in damage to them. I mean, they got to, it's really, in that kind of thing, is the moves. But in this game, that extra level makes a huge difference. For some reason, I noticed that, like, when I first started, that, I mean, people who were, like, a level higher than me were killing me. And conversely, if I was a level higher than somebody else, I was killing them. Like, I could hit them with one shot, and if it was a critical, and it was a critical headshot, I mean, like, dead.
But it's based on mostly because, the weapons that you use, each weapon, of course, has is a damage to range that it goes to. Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, if you're level 7 and you're using a weapon that is level 3, then you're maxing out the damage on that, plus you're adding whatever proficiency you have for that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're level 7 and you're fighting against a level 6 character, they're going to take a couple shots from you, regardless of what weapon, even if you're using a level 1 weapon, they're going to take a couple shots from you. But they won't take as many as, say, if you were level 5 and level 6. Now, they won't take as many as then, because, you know, they might fall over quickly. But if you're level 10 and someone's level 3, one shot's probably going to kill them instantly, and they're going to explode.
They're going to explode, yeah.
I mean, not as saying you're going to explode because you got some kind of element onto your gun. It's because they're going to explode because you're doing so much damage to them that they literally explode. And Borderlands is one of those games that get kind of, it's not really graphic, but you can actually come up to the person that's exploding. You can see a limb over here. If you see anything,
yeah,
you might see a limb over here. Or if you got a lightning on there, you might see an eyeball come flying at you and the head pop off.
Oh, it's gory.
Or when there's fire. Well, the funny thing about it, you see what assimilated blood, but then it all just fizzles away.
Mm-hmm.
I think the funniest thing is when you set someone on fire and they burn to death. And, you know, in a movie show, you know, the people were burned to death and everything. They flail around, they fall down. Well, Borderlands, they flail around, and then they basically turn into ash right there in front of your face, so you don't see anything. But you still hear their voices as that's going on.
Well, I always think I think that's a different kind of fire they're using in those guns. Napalm. Yeah, it's like a napalm or something.
Depends on which one you're using, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they have a napalm gun, don't they? Some kind of napalm or something. They call it napalm.
I don't remember. There's literally a gazillion guns on this game. And as random as it is, a lot of people say, you know, the game's pretty much random what it does. There's a little set pattern that it has to create the weapons because there's manufacturers that have different set of weapons and what they can and cannot do. But I won't get into the whole thing about that, which I do understand it. But I just tell you that the game constantly loads, because there are people saying the game doesn't load that much. The game's constantly loading, because every time you open up a chest, the game has no idea what's in there until you hit the open button. Then it loads it up and see what's in there. And now it might be random what it puts in there, such as times you might open up a chest, and there might be four weapons in there, or it might be one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it also, for certain sections, it looks at what section you're in,
what your level is,
yeah,
and what mission you're on,
and then it determines what guns go in there, because that's how we'll always see, like, white level weapons. We'll be in the Lost Caves on first playthrough, we're like level 35, you know, so we're going through and making people explode in one shot, and you might see you're gonna see a level 13 gun in there. That's because you said they expect you to be this level when you come in here.
Between 13 to 16.
Yeah. So you're going to see level 13 to 16 guns. And they might be white level guns. They might be green level guns. Very few have we ever seen. We've seen some blue ones.
Now, the colors are, of course, done by how often you're going to see. White means they're very common weapons. You're going to see them all the time. And, you know, the different colors. The rarest color is the... Well, people always have a hard time saying is, some people call it gold, some people call it orange, some people call it yellow. Those are extremely rare. But if you are a higher level and you're going through, say for instance, you're level 28, you're basically on the verge about to beat the game. Because you can beat the game at level 28 if you go straight through. It'll be difficult, but you can do it. And you go to the Lost Caves. Well, Lost Cave mission, you know, they want you to be somewhere between level 15. Now, since I played the game so much, inside and out, done so much research in there, I know that it's best to either go in there, if you got a group of four people with you, you can go in there at level 13. You'll be fine. You may make it to the end, you may not. You know, you might have to go back and forth, keep, you know, buying more ammo. If you're in there by yourself, only go up by a quarter and then come back, because you're going to run out of ammo.
Go fight the rock lobsters and come back.
That's what we call them. We call them rock lobsters.
The rock lobsters and the puppies.
But like I said, if you're level 28 and you come back in there, you open up a chest. Now, you might see a weapon down there that says level 15, but it might be a yellow weapon or gold, depending on what you see. It might be a gold weapon, which is extremely rare for that level. Mm-hmm. And it will have some unbelievable things added onto it, such it might be a sniper rifle that has fire on there times 4. And chances of someone catching on fire is very high, which means there's a 96% that each time you fire, someone's going to catch on fire on that. But I've also noticed that you go through there and you might find level 13 weapons that are extremely rare, but you don't find those weapons when you're at that level going through that. The game tries to compensate by trying to make it as challenging as possible.
Oh, my word.
But if you go back to a level that you already beat it, such as Lost Caves at level 28, the way they try to compensate is they try to give good weapons, which I would suggest just pick it up and sell if you need to.
I don't sell no gun under $10,000.
But
I bling with my guns.
But it compensates by trying to make it more, I guess, make it difficult by adding more elements to it. You get more badasses in the first playthrough.
Oh, my word. We went through there one time. What level were we? We were like 20, 25 maybe. We decided, we're going to go through Lost Caves. We're just going to run through Lost Caves. We're right here. We can go through it, right, together. What was the record number? Because I think we counted. We counted like 6 badasses. We were fighting the Skags. They sent out like 6 badasses in the span of like 5 minutes.
Yeah, the first couple minutes. Yeah, they sent like 6. Now, I played with a friend of mine, and we, of course, already got the General Knox secret armory, and which gives you a level cap of 61. So we went back through, saying, we can just go through the Lost Caves, no problem, Well, no one will drop down anything, 4 of us. Now, the more people you add onto this game, the more difficult the game's going to be, regardless. Now, the game can be pretty rough by yourself, but the more people you add on this game, the more difficult it's going to be.
The worse it gets.
So we're going through on, like, technically the 3rd playthrough, and we're going through the Lost Caves, and there's 4 of us. And we go in, we destroy the rock lobsters easily, because there's no such thing as a badass rock lobster until you get to Cromorex.
Mm-hmm.
So we go take out, and my friend doesn't like taking out the skags that I call the puppies and everything, so he skipped those, went down to take the rest of the rock lobsters. So we're on our way through, and we come to the next section of skags, and there are 4 badasses already sitting there.
They're on top of the hill, because that's where the first save point is, right?
Yes.
Where they're on top of the hill, and where I like to go snipe, and you wait at the foot of the hill, and they come run down.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's also skag dens, like, in that area as you're going, heading back toward the human population.
Yes. Yes, that's true, but we kill those off first. We always kill those off first.
Yeah.
Now, as we come up the hill, there are 4 badasses already right there.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that's ridiculous.
Now, we did the broken thing. We all played with 4 Rolands. Now, the thing about Roland is,
that's hilarious.
As a soldier is, you can get the skill that you can shoot your teammate, and it heals them.
Yeah.
We also found out with Roland, if your teammate is in a vehicle, like one of the cars, and the cars are taking damage, Roland shoots the vehicle, and it heals the car, which they were not anticipating to ever happen, but, we found that out the nice way. So, all 4 of us came up there. All 4 of us dropped turrets down. Now,
it's all kind of bullets flying.
Not only does Roland heal people with shooting, by shooting people, he also has a skill that he can heal people by creatures that he can heal people with this ring around him.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you kill
He has this halo. As soon as he kills something, this ring around him heals everyone in the area. Now, all 4 of us have that. Now, not only do we have that, but our turrets also heal people at the same time. So we basically a healing machine.
Yeah.
So all 4 of us throw the turrets down at the same time. We're all using shotguns. We're all killing. We all got the halo thing comes out. And every single skag, and they sent out 12 at this section. Every single skag that came out was a badass.
Wow.
I'm sorry. We're playing, so it was a super bad at that time since we're playing 3rd.
Wow.
But every single one of them. And
that's crazy.
The most difficult ones are the corrosive. the corrosive, and we had two types of the electric one, because there's an elder, there's one that looks like the Elder Skag, and there's one that looks like the armored.
The armored alpha.
But, so we went through that. We went through the human populations. We had to fight against four more badasses as we went through there.
Yeah, they sent out badasses, didn't they?
And we got to the end where there's nothing but a huge Skag again at the end. Every single one of those were badass except for the first two. So, by then, we all decided to come back. Well, the rock lobsters respond,
yeah.
By the time we finished with the rock lobster, my friend came up with a great idea. Let's go back through. So we turned around to go back. Well, all the Skags respond, and every single one of them was a badass, to which they start dropping us.
Wow.
Because they start doing so much. Like, the lightning one comes out, and then automatically drops your shield as soon as they do a burst. Well, so you're fighting against lightning, and you pull out your acid weapon to kill the lightning one really quick.
Then
and
an acid one
comes up, breathes fire in there, so your shield never regenerates, and you start losing health quicker. So you throw down your Terran. Well, they attack your Terran at the same time while you're fighting off two other badasses, and you're trying to help your teammate up.
Yeah.
You're helping your teammate up who's been incapacitated, which means they can still fight, but they might die really quick because they're bleeding out. So you're helping your teammate up. Your teammate's helping you by shooting you because he can heal you as long as he keeps shooting you, which is not really helping because there's a badass breathing fire on you at the same time while you can't have any help. So needless to say, although we were level 61, we did die level 51 badasses.
Wow.
Because we come to realize that although it says level 51,
they're higher than that.
They really must be higher than that. They just put the level cap on there, but they're doing a lot more damage.
Well, that's like with Cromorex. He's level 60, what, 4?
He's 64.
He's
64, and you can only get level cap of 61.
61. So, automatically, you're at a disadvantage. Automatically. Yes. And he gonna drop you as soon as you get on the platform if you don't get to the safe spot.
Yeah, there's a couple safe spots. Now, there are people who have done it without using the safe
spot. Without using it, yeah.
And we've done it as team effort without using the safe spot, but we've come to realize it's really difficult to do it without the siren. The siren's really the key point.
Yeah.
Since she can just phase walk, which means she can just go through pretty much anybody and do damage to them. So she phase walks straight through Cromorex, who takes up the whole entire screen, gets on the other side and starts shooting him. Well, of course, that gets Cromorex's attention, so he turns around and look at her. Now, if he hits you one time, you're automatically incapacitated. But the siren can build up her face walk so fast that by the time he turns around to look to
you've
see where it is,
recharged.
We've already shooting at him. And he goes to reach out. She's already phase walked again. So now he turns back to look at us because he doesn't see the siren anymore. So she comes out of her phase walk on the other side, shoots him, he dies. Well, all you got then is just pick up all the loot, which he drops some of the best weapons there ever found in the game.
Yeah.
So you pick that up, and the weapons he dropped, regardless what playthrough you're playing on,
you
some
can
of
easily
them,
sell them for nine.
Some of them are $9,999,999 when you sell. Now, that sounds like an awful lot of money, but when you go into a weapon vendor and you open up the machine and it says this gun that you really want is $9,999,999, and you want to buy that gun and you know you have that money, but then it tells you, because you have $9,999,999. But it tells you you do not have enough money because although it says all those nines, that's just as high as it goes on the game. It keeps counting afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So the gun itself might be like $12 million. But if you only got $9 million, then you're not going to buy the gun.
No.
So.
Yeah, well, also it keeps counting for you too.
Yes, keeps counting. It always keeps counting. So.
Yeah. Even though it will say that 9,999,000, whatever, 999, you still have actually more money than that. As a matter of fact, I'm at the point now with my siren, since he went and got me some guns to sell, because what happened was my siren got corrupted. We had a lightning strike one night and made the power flash as we were saving, and it corrupted my siren character, but it left my soldier alone. So I had to start over with my siren, and I was pissed about that because my siren was level 54, and I really, really didn't want to have start over again with that. So I wound up having to start over, but he gave me some guns, and I sold them, and that automatically gave my character so much more money, it was ridiculous. Like, I didn't even need his Richie Rich character to hook me up with any stuff from Bloodwing drops, because my siren did like crazy amounts of damage with my new fancy guns, but my guns were like, you sold like three guns and I had 9,999,000. At this point, the game doesn't even count how much money I have now. It doesn't even show when you pick up money. It shows a little rolling thing for your little bank account of how much money you have. The game doesn't even show that for me anymore. It stopped showing the display for it. It's still counting it.
Keeps track of it.
Yeah, it's still counting it. So if I, and I have actually done this, I've, you know, gotten taken down because my character's only like level, you know, 20, what am I, 29, 30 now? I think 29. Well, I mean, I've gotten knocked down and I've still, like, I've died, and of course, you know, they charge you that fee to bring you back, so my fee is, like, some exorbitant amount. It's 26%. Somebody had calculated it on the Borderlands forums, the official forums, that the fee is, like, 26% of your total amount that you have in your account right then. Well, 26% of some ridiculous figure of money that I have still doesn't even drop me to 9,999,999. I still have the display where it says 9 million. I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, I was like, will I ever run out of money? Yeah. Yes, probably, but...
Yeah. Now, a lot of people think, well, when you got that much money, you can just buy any gun you want to.
Not really.
On the first playthrough, yes.
Yeah.
Second playthrough, everything is much more expensive. Your shields are expensive, which you need. Shields are very expensive. Your weapons are more expensive. But I usually don't buy that many weapons because
it's
a lot better to find. You go out and find weapons, it's a lot better than going out. Now, I will say, I always check the vendors because
there's been some nice stuff in there.
There's some nice things in there, but every now and then, Marcus, who is the weapons dealer there, Marcus will leave some very rare weapons. Like the other day I was playing, and I happened to look in the machine at New Haven, one of the cities that you have to go there. Went to New Haven, and Marcus had this gold rocket launcher that I'd never seen before.
Wow.
Well, it was $9,999,999. Well, I picked it up. Well, I was playing with my level 61 character, which means I still had over 9,999,999. Well, anyway, so I picked it up. And this rocket launcher, which was really nice, it was level 48, I think it was, and it fired a rocket projectile much faster than I've ever seen. And I've played the game a lot, but much faster than I've only seen it. And as it fired the projectile, it also did miniature explosions along the way to cause damage along the way. So I said, well, that's pretty good. Not a bad buy. Now, I'm pretty sure it was over the 9 million what it said it was, but still, it was not bad.
That's a nice gun.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have some nice weapons on there, and some variant is really great. Like, if you like sniper rifles.
The Volcanoes.
The Volcanoes are really great. The Orions, which are my favorite, because once you get an Orion with a sniper rifle, I mean, who doesn't like a sniper rifle that doesn't have 21 shots in it and shoots lightning at it, and it is shoots as fast as you can press the trigger. There's no pop, click, click, reload, pop. It's pop, 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 while still shooting lightning, which lightning comes out at 3 rounds burst. So
it's like 3 or 4.
So it always does major damage.
Well, you know, I have that gun. I've got an Orion.
Yes, we found the Orion lightning gun.
Yeah, we found one. I don't even, where were we? We found that. We were someplace strange and I found it. And it's like a x3.
Yes.
And it has 15 shots in it.
It does.
Yeah, I immediately threw away whatever sniper rifle I had and immediately picked that up. I'm more, we'll get to this discussion now. What guns are you partial to in Borderlands? I like the Combustion Hellfire. That's the SMG. And it's great. Actually, I got it near the end of the first playthrough because you gave it to me, I think. And on the second playthrough, I mean, it was still just cutting into people easily.
Well, the best thing about the Hellfire is, regardless what playthrough, you can get a Hellfire that is level, I don't think I've seen one lower than level 28. You can get one to level 28, and you can be on the second playthrough, and you can be fighting against people at level 40. And once whatever you're fighting against doesn't have a shield anymore...
Oh, it's all over but the shouting.
If they didn't have a shield in the first place, like the Bruisers, you set them on fire immediately. I mean, technically, you might only be doing like 15 damage each shot that you're hitting them, but the fire is building up. The fire might be doing 33, but each shot's adding another 33 on top of that. And if you got like 24 shots in that clip, that's 33 times 24 times whatever damage the bullet's doing to them. So they usually die really quick regardless.
Yeah, it just cuts them down.
As my favorite weapon, I have to say, it kind of depends on which character I'm playing. All of them, I try to give them a Hellfire because Hellfire is great in any situation. Everybody needs a shotgun because you...
Oh, yes.
Because you have bandits that will run up there trying to eat you, like the maniacs and the little midgets. And you have to shoot them very close.
Mm-hmm.
Because
especially
you can,
the midget shotguns.
I mean, you can pull out a machine gun, and there's nothing wrong with having a machine gun, but the problem is machine gun accuracy usually suck. I've been point-blank range on people, and they wouldn't die quickly, but shotgun get rid of them quick. If I'm playing with Mordecai, I might use more...
You use a lot of revolvers.
I'll use revolver and sniper rifle. Shotgun when I'm close. And if I got a Hellfire, I'll use that. There's usually the weapons I'll stay with. Rolling, it doesn't really matter with rolling because, you know, I'll have a shotgun out and I'll just use a turret all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I can care less because I don't need a Hellfire because I could just set my turret to have fire on it and I could just set everyone ablaze anyway.
Are you going to hear do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
I really only use SMGs the whole time. It doesn't matter what kind. I'll just use SMGs on my phase walk all day long.
Yeah.
I really don't even use a shotgun with her. Now, with Brick, on the other hand, who's like the big bruiser over there, I'll use rocket launchers and my fist. That is all I'm using.
He juggernauting it.
Yep. That's all I use. I'll use rocket launchers and my fist. If I have to use anything else, I might use a revolver. But mostly, I use my fist and the rocket launchers.
Well, when you and Kaylin were playing through the first couple of times, I came up with the phrase that Kaylin was juggernauting it when, because all you hear is him go, and he's hitting people in the face and killing them.
Well, one of his skills is called unstoppable. So,
yeah.
And it's because he punches. If someone within 5 to 6 feet when he punches, as long as they're in his crosshairs, he'll automatically dash over there and punch them at the same time.
Oh, so he really is head crushing them then.
Yes.
So I said, is that Caleb head crushing people again?
The game has a lot of those cult favorites in there, you know, such as calling people the badass and super bads. The bad mothers. Can't forget about the bad mothers. Which most of them that said they came from the Samuel Jackson reference. Well, I can understand all those.
Yeah.
Christopher Sabat does some of the voices on there, so
it's time to pound some meat puppets.
You'll hear crazy lines all over the place.
Oh, what's your favorite? You gotta tell them your favorite.
My favorite line has to be, "You never should have come here, and now you're going to pay." And that is exactly how fast the person says to you. Well, the guys come out, they're all shooting, they all say random stuff. And although, as random as it is, and as often as they say it, because it's not as different lines that they can say, but you hear it a lot, but each time it doesn't get boring. You hear guys like, the guys that come out and like, "You damn Mercs," and just start firing at you.
We just heard that one the other day.
Yeah, you're like, "You damn Mercs," or Are you gonna squeal before I cook you?
You gonna squeal before we cook you?
You
should be here.
You should be here. look what the skag brought in. But all those lines going on, and you know, you start, and then shots are finally firing because you can have a stand. You literally can have a standoff with these people.
Shoot them.
You can get point blank range. You can get to a spot, and y'all just stand there, and they look at each other. They have their guns up. You have their guns up, and they'll talk junk to you. Sad part about it, you can't say anything back to them, but they'll talk junk to you all day long. So you take one step, or you fire a shot and everything. Then all hell breaks out. There's shots being fired. Shots being fired all over the place.
Grenades.
People throwing stuff. There are big bruises coming out. Like, ah ha ha! Come meet your maker. So the bullets are flying, rockets are exploding all over the place, and all of a sudden you hear this guy say, "You never should have come here. Now you're gonna pay." And then he takes cover.
Nobody shoots my buddies but me.
Yep, everyone says that people die, and then you get those one guy who's alive at the end of it, and it's always one guy. Not everyone gets killed off at the same time. It's always just one guy. Jump up, and he'll look surprised by the fact that he's alive. He'll fire two shots. You fire a shot at him. Don't kill him. If you don't kill him, he'll jump down and he'll say, "I don't want to die.
I don't want to die.
I don't want to die." Or, "Stop shooting, I surrender."
But he's steady shooting at you.
As soon as he says, "Stop shooting, I'll surrender," he reloads his gun and starts firing back at you.
I'm like, what the hell? All right, die.
So, I mean, It's craziness, all the stuff that I mean, that say on there, such as some of the bosses, like your favorite Nine Toes and other. One of their favorite phrases was, he's nine toes. He's got nine toes, but he has three balls. So
he has three balls.
Sledge,
you walked the wrong dog.
Sledge,
oh yeah.
Sledge is the man, yes, because Nine Toes does that patent. If anyone watched the WWF, not WWE.
No, WWF.
WWF, when D-Generation X did the whole suck it thing. That is exactly what Nine Toes does, which they've said that's where they got the reference from. Now, Sledge, who believes that stronger means I'm smarter.
Sledge, dumb.
And Sledge refers to himself in third person at all times.
Sledge, kill you.
Yeah. Sledge don't like you. Sledge think you're a mercenary. Or says some stupid stuff like that. And Sledge really doesn't say anything funny the first time you encounter him. Now, when Sledge is reborn, and he's reborn on Secret Armory, you have to find Sledge on there, who gets a completely different name, which I won't spoil that for anyone. He doesn't talk anymore. But he really come equipped with sort of Transformer-like guns. So,
You know my boy, Baron Flint.
Baron Flint, who's the take of Clint Eastwood, who has a joint. And I say it's a joint because they say it's medicinal.
P.S. It's medicinal. You know my boy, you're so doggedly eager for death.
Baron Flint has some of the best lines on there, such as, "Come get some." Which, of course, comes from the cult class of Ash from those stupid deadites gotta be keep coming at you. So, Ash says, "Come get some."
Which
Baron Flint has the boomstick.
Yeah.
Which is a shotgun that shoots grenades. Which is awesome.
Well, you know my other boy. You know my other boy. Don't you hurry back. What you want?
Oh, crazy Earl. Yeah. What you want? See you later.
That Crumb, he stabbed me twice.
Yeah, Leslie Crumb, which there was a huge story going on with her, with him, going on with one of the characters of the game, Tannis.
Oh, gosh, I want to strangle Patricia Tannis.
But
she works on my nerves.
Crumb doesn't really say anything. It's extremely quiet. But Crumb does try to kill you by sitting on a turret and shooting rockets at you. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other patent lines that are said on there.
When I get out of here.
The best line ever has to come from General Knox himself. Whenever you get whenever you get the download content, you get General Knox. Listen to General Knox describe the planet that you're on, Pandora. Because he says, you know, you meet the sun because Pandora is basically a big desert. There used to be water there, but most of it's been evaporated up because of the sun. I guess the planet's getting too close to the sun this time now or anything like that. But he also says the planet smells like hemorrhoids wrapped in bacon.
Yeah. I really don't want to be here on Pandora. I mean, the planet smells like hemorrhoids wrapped in bacon. Yeah. I thought I was going to fall out my chair laughing. I laughed so hard when I heard him say that the first time. And he was dead serious. Like, he was dead serious. Oh, you know who my other boy is. I love me some General Knox, though. General Knox has me crying. I mean, he's like, I mean, I work with children. Literally, the Admiral is 5 years old. He gave me it. What did he say? He wrote out my orders in crayon.
Yes, I had cat so cool and misspelled cool.
Yeah, and he misspelled cool. I love me some General Knox. I didn't want to kill him, actually. I really didn't.
Moxie is one of my favorites because Moxie says this line that I have not heard since I was like in high school, which has been like umpteen years ago. But Moxie was sending you out to go kill her ex-husband because Moxie's been married many times. Moxie sends you out to go kill her ex-husband, which she wants you to do, but she ends up don't want to do anyway. But anyway, long story short, her ex-husband, who's bisexual,
named Mr. Shanks.
Named Mr. Shank. No, Shank. Mr. Shank.
I thought he was plural.
No, Shank.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Shank. He stabs you if you say Shank.
If you just say Shank, he's Mr. Shank. I'm sorry.
Mr. Shank, who has this best friend that, you know...
Chaz, I'm so ticklish there.
We won't talk about Chaz much, but... Moxie sends you out, to basically save the princess is basically what you're going to do. You're going to save the princess, which is Athena.
Athena, out.
And, she tells you where Mr. Shank said that. Mr. Shank is in a penitentiary. Because Pandora used to be a penal colony.
But, much, you know, like Georgia.
But a lot of things changed, and you know, now the convicts are running around bandits, and people who you're actually helping out are really convicts too, but you know, still you're there anyway, you're there for another reason. But you're on the way to go kill Mr. Shank. And she tells you he's run this penal colony. She said, well, he's in this penal colony. He's broke down and everything, you know. And now he just uses it as his own personal stabbing ground. That's what she said. High five! Wait. Anybody? Anyway, what you want to do is...
I was like, what?
I'm laughing because I've not heard that's what she... Well, I'll take that back. Ginger said that what she said not too long ago on Facebook, and I bust out laughing too. But
I saw it.
But I have to say that what she said line is not, I mean, I literally haven't heard that since I was in high school, so I just died laughing.
It was really lost on me. It really was. It was lost on me. But it was rather hilarious. I like Moxie. Moxie's cute. And she kind of apparently has a crush on the siren, from what I've read.
She
likes Brick too.
She's open to anybody.
She all about everybody.
In fact, the only person I think she doesn't try to ever get you to kill is, so far, I would say, is probably Marcus. She actually tolerates Marcus, who is also one of her ex-husbands. She tolerates him. Yeah. But that's about it.
But yeah, and you know my other boy, he say, when I'm getting out of here, you bitches are getting stabbed.
The claptraps on there, some of the lines the claptraps on there are extremely priceless. He said, when I get out of here, some of you bitches are getting stabbed. In fact, I'm new stabbing record on this planet. Mr. Shank, let me go. I promise you, the check's in the mail. Now, the claptrap looks like a combination of R2-D2 on one wheel.
Yeah.
And not three wheels, just one wheel.
He's a little cute.
Now, they put, and I remember it, I remember actually a lot, but they put this boot, because he's inside of a penitentiary, they put this boot on the claptrap on his one wheel so he can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I didn't know what her age was. All women like candy, right?
I swear it was just candy.
And I bust out laughing. I was like, I can't believe they put this stuff in here. But that's what they do. And the claptraps are hilarious. And you really had to pay attention to what they're saying in order you get the joke. Or else, you know, if you're not paying attention, you have no idea what he's talking about. Like, I'm going back to do my research on the wondrous properties of sand. So the first time I heard that, I didn't pay any attention to it until I was like halfway through one of the missions. I stopped and was like, wait a minute. This whole planet is filled with nothing but sand. Mm-hmm. What wondrous properties is he going to find out about it? So, yes. But,
we can't forget our boy, Scooter. Good old Scooter Bug.
Scooter. has become probably a fan favorite because everyone's mentioned Scooter on there.
You the one who figured all the crap that people ask?
You the one kill all the crap people ask? That's what it says. You the one kill all the crap people ask? Catch a ride more busted up than my mom's girl parts. I really appreciate it if you take a poke at that. The catch a ride, not my mom.
Hot dog in the skag den, you know what I mean?
Scooter has some of the best lines. Bomb. Scooter has become a fan favorite because one of the promos they tell you about on General Knox before it came out was, there'll be lots more Scooter. And boy, was there ever more Scooter. And that's all I'm going to say about Scooter on there.
Well, you know, he also says he that one of, and by, what'd he say by? He's talking about Lucky. And he say by me not having killed him something.
Go ahead. You might want to use him on a request that I me not having to kill him and all, because Lucky had did something to his mom's girl parts, which we won't mention who his mom is, not to spoil anyone. But
yeah, I don't want to spoil that for anyone.
But he does get back at Lucky eventually. But
I told you I was gonna do it.
He said when you're on the way to Lucky, he says, Scooter says, Lucky's an old friend of mine. And by old friend, I mean asshole who ruined my mom's girl parts. So, Scooter is a colorful character. And you're on this planet, all the characters are there looking for this vault, which is supposed to have untold riches in there.
Yeah.
Which you find untold riches on the way to the vault. Now, what you find in the vault, I won't necessarily, you know, ruin it for anyone, but you find some riches after you reach the vault.
Oh, you find some riches, all right.
Now, Scooter is a little skeptical about what's in the vault, along with a lot of other people who've been there because they've been there all their life. It was a penal colony. They've all been there most of their life, and they've never seen the vault, so it obviously doesn't exist.
I built this thing in levels. I got all day.
Yes. Dr. Zed, I'm sorry, that's Dr. Ned, because the Zombie Island Dr. Ned was awesome. Who actually has some of the great lines in there too?
He's like, I built this in levels.
I built this in levels. No, he said, I built this in levels. No, he said, keep coming. I built this in levels. And he said, to make this more entertaining, I built all this all in levels. Keep coming at me then. He also says, try to not ruin your girl parts on the multitudes of zombies I've sent after you.
You know what you need to know.
He says some nice things, but the game itself, they have some...
The voice great, work was excellent.
They have great one-liners for anyone who wants to use them. The classic stuff.
The voice work was excellent.
Voice works were perfect. Even what your characters say. Your characters say some random stuff, too.
Satisfaction abounds. I was like, Mordecai, you so cute.
They say some random things like... Like, if somebody's playing with Roland, and a person gets incapacitated, and Roland gets him up, one of the best things I ever heard Roland say was, get your ass up! So, I mean, it gets some good things in there, and it's a lot of great playthrough.
We wasting daylight, fool!
Yes. It's a lot of good, great playthrough on there, and the game's fairly long. And even after you beat the game 3 times... I found myself still going back and playing through it again, mm-hmm. over and over.
We just do different characters.
And I know a lot of people are out there said, you know, it gets kind of old. They want to do more things. They want to do different things and stuff like that. But for me, it wasn't really about finishing it up and then wanting to play something else along with the game. Because each time you go through it, it's a different experience, at least for me, even with characters.
Yeah.
Something that might be extremely easy for Roland. And, you know, Roland is broken. But
he's game breaking.
But each character on their own, if you set up properly, are completely broken. Like, for instance, in the versus matches, when you actually challenge someone to a duel, which is one of the best things ever, when you challenge someone to a duel, we've come to realize that Turrent does not beat a bird every single time.
No.
Get
him, Blood.
Bloodwing can come out, and if Bloodwing's high enough level and does enough damage to him, the Turrent can be out. Bloodwing can drop the Turrent instantly. Bloodwing still got five more people he can hit. So if you're there, so Bloodwing's going to hit that opponent once. He may come back and hit it again because it alternates whether he's going to hit the person multiple times or not. But all Bloodwing needs to do is hit you one time. You drop the shield. All the Hunter got to do is shoot you. Now, the Hunter doesn't necessarily have to worry about your shield because it has a special skill called Trespass, which means I'm going to bypass the shield. So you might die instantly anyway. So my friend Scooter already came up with a nice theory. He's like, bird beats Turrent, which it does. Bird beats Fist, because Brick's got to run at you in order to punch you before he starts doing damage. But Bloodwing might drop you before you get there.
Yeah.
Now, Bloodwing has a problem with Lilith. I mean, she can phase walk in a duel. But as soon as she comes out, Bird hits Lilith. So, Mordecai's a little broken.
Yeah.
And as a lot of people, we had a nice long discussion about getting teams versus teams. And we come to realize that a lot of people are probably playing nothing but Hunters.
Yeah.
On there. Now, I would be with a team who have nothing but soldiers because, you know, Roland's, he's pretty broken by himself.
Yeah.
But four of each one is kind of broken. A Siren, she could pretty much handle the game by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because she phase walks, she can move so fast, she can go through and kill people while she's phase walking, come out, still shoot more people. And four of Sirens on there is completely ridiculous. It's nothing but chaos. Four Hunters, people might never see the death coming. You just see people dead. Or you might see blood wings and that's it.
Yeah. Well, with Bloodwing, the crazy thing about Bloodwing is, of course, Bloodwing is not even part of my character. Because I play as Lilith. I usually, since I'm having to redo my Siren right now, I'm playing with Lilith. Bloodwing helps me because Bloodwing drops stuff. I was like, thank you, Bloodwing. And Bloodwing comes out and helps me. And I follow Bloodwing. I follow the trail of death. And there's nothing more hilarious than playing with Lilith. And I'm, you know, using a sniper rifle more than likely, or some gun that's got a zoom on it. And I'm going to go shoot somebody. He throws out Bloodwing, and I see in my crosshairs, as I'm getting ready to pull the trigger and shoot someone in the face, I see Bloodwing swoop in and kill him. And all you see is like this explosion of money come out of him. I'm like, oh, Bloodwing just saved me some ammo. You want to save 15% on your ammo? Pick Bloodwing. But I mean, like.
Or you just play Roland, who automatically regenerates everyone ammo once you get a certain class mod.
Yeah.
Now, the brokenness that is Brick, I have to say, is Brick's designed to take a lot of punishment.
Yeah.
You can set Brick up that when he gets incapacitated, and you know he can. His duration for incapacitation is much longer than everyone else once you set that skill up, too.
Yeah.
But as soon as incapacitated, he kills someone, he automatically comes back. He gets his second win. Well, 3/4 of his health just came back with his shields automatically back, too. When that happens, when you have your skill set up, which is why I always say, I have him going in Juggernaut. He might drop down, which is what he's designed to do, to drop down. But when he gets up, it's basically starting all over again for everybody.
Yep.
So
he's my cover fire when we play with that particular character.
He's almost
I let him go run ahead in because chances are he ain't gonna die.
I've got mine set up now. He does do that. His shields are much higher than he's supposed to be. His hit points are up higher. I maxed up the hit points on his skill. And when he drops down, of course, he gets back 3/4 of his life. But I also have a class mod that lets him regenerate health constantly. And I'm now equipped him with a shield that regenerates health. So it takes much, much longer now for him to drop down. And once he gets back down, you know, he's almost at full health by the time he gets back up.
Yeah. So. Well, I use my guns that I like. Just getting back to that. I like shotguns and sniper rifles. And I'm really partial to the caustic weapons. I like caustic weapons. I'm not sure why. But give me a caustic shotgun and a vicious sniper with the corrosive artifact on it. Somebody's going to die. I'm very good at getting headshots. Like, I discovered this, and this is important because I should mention this, and this is actually, if you've been reading Gaming Insurrection's new comic that I draw, our very first one was about the fact that we were playing co-op together, and Kalen invited us to play with him, and sadly I couldn't play because I didn't have an Xbox Live Gold account, like I said earlier, but he discovered that I hadn't played a shooter since the Clinton administration, because the last time I played a shooter was like 1999, 2000, when, you know, 2000 election, of course, that was Bush and Gore, but before that, it was Clinton. So I had, the last time I played anything was like Unreal Tournament on PS2. And was very good at that. But, I mean, I've played Halo. I have actually played Halo. I didn't enjoy it because I got motion sickness. And I have that problem. I get motion sickness from shooters. Most shooters at that time, the graphics hadn't quite caught up well enough. So I would get motion sickness. And we're talking like I'd be sitting there playing GoldenEye on 64. And after about an hour, I was ready to throw up my brains. Like, I was so sick. Literally, I had a headache. I was disoriented. I mean, I had to go lay down, take some aspirin, and go to sleep. Because I couldn't keep up with it. And my eyes would be very tired very quickly. So, I kind of gave up on playing shooters. And Halo, to a certain extent, helped. But it didn't... I would last a little longer than an hour. But, I discovered this problem when I started playing stuff like Quake. I couldn't play Quake. I had Quake 2, and I could not play it to save my life. I mean, I literally was about to throw up after about 20 minutes with Quake. So, certain games really do that. But I've noticed with Borderlands, it doesn't bother me. And it's not as, it's nowhere near as bad as it used to be. And I think that companies have really started paying attention to that and noticed. Because I'm not the only one. It's another friend of ours, who coincidentally set us up, has the same problem. He can't, some of those things he cannot play. Like, he gets sick. He's ready to throw up instantly. So, I've noticed with Borderlands, though, I don't have that problem. But, I had to learn from scratch, basically. I had to learn how to play a shooter. I had to learn, like, aiming, which... I mean, with modern day shooters, it's easy now. Like, you can't help but aim right now. So, I mean, I had to learn from scratch, and I was very happy that Jamie was quite patient with me because, I mean, I'm having to learn how to play with a 360 controller, which I am really awful with otherwise, but I actually can use it for shooters. Now, I had to find my own setup for... you know, like, control setup, because his, I can't use his, like, it just doesn't work for me, I'm helplessly confused, but when I figured out where I wanted certain things, I bonded with it, basically, so, But yeah, having to learn from scratch has been, you know, interesting. I have to say, that's definitely been interesting, because here I am trying to learn how to play shooters, which means, no, I haven't played any Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I haven't played any of that, because it's a little too advanced for me right now. But I mean, I kind of want to play it, but I'm scared I might be sick or something. But I don't know, I enjoy playing Borderlands, but I discovered after playing for a couple of weeks that I really liked sniper rifles and shotguns. I'm not too partial on revolvers and stuff, like the gun's not big enough or something, I guess. I can use them. If it's got a scope on it, I'm pretty good with it. And I like SMGs to a point, but I really like sniper rifles. So I have, and Jamie will attest to this, when I play, I have, if you look at my character's inventory, I have, like, how many slots are there? Like, 60? Once you get all the upgrades? The backpack? 48.
It's 48?
48.
Well, like, 43 of them are guns. Because, like, I'll have my class mods that I like, and he usually has me put on a class mod that has scavenge, you know, find rare items, team find rare items. If I can find this, like a catalyst mod for the siren. But I usually have class mods on, and then I'll have like my grenades. And let me tell you, like in the beginning, I'll use an explosive mirror because I like those, because I like the explosion, extra explosions. But once I find a transfusion, it's all over. I'm using nothing but transfusion. I love transfusion grenade mods. So I'll run in and throw a grenade, you know, I'm like shooting, and I do careful, measured shooting, or at least I try. I try not to just wildly shoot. So I'm usually in the back sniping people off, you know, because my sniper rifle proficiency is pretty high. Like, right now I think it's at like 15, but I think it is. But I like to snipe, and then if I have to get in close, I'm going to use a shotgun. Immediately, I'm going to use my shotgun, or I'm going to use my combustion hellfire if I got one. But shotguns, I like the corrosive shotguns. And like with my guns, though, like 43 of them would be guns. Well, they'll be like, I'll have an elemental gun for each gun that I have. Like if I have a shotgun, I'll have a caustic shotgun. What is it? What kind of fire shotgun? What do they call them? Burning shotgun? What is it? I don't even know what the shotgun's called.
I don't know. I never use them.
Oh. Well, I'll have a...
I never really use them.
I have a fire.
Flaming.
Yeah, probably like a flaming shotgun. I'll have one of those. Then I'll have a blast shotgun, and I may have a static shotgun. It depends, because I really don't care for static weapons. I mean, I'll have some, but I don't use them too much, because supposedly you can hurt yourself with them, so... And then, like, for my sniper rifles, I have a burning sniper, a caustic sniper, or, like, a vitriolic caustic sniper. And then I'll have a blast sniper, and then, like, I'll have a static sniper. And right now, I have that Orion sniper. So, I mean, like, and then it depends. Like, I'll have some special weapons, because I like that combustion hellfire. So, I'll keep that. I might have a burning revolver or something like that. But for the most part, I try to keep elemental weapons. And then I'll have some non-elemental weapons just in case I should happen to come across a badass who's an elemental. And, you know, I can't do as much damage as I'd like. So, yeah, I kind of like the weapon choices in the game. I like that. What I don't like about the game is the platforming. I don't like the platforming. I'm glad it's in limited amounts, because I feel like the game's strength is not platforming. It's the RPG open world aspect and the millions upon millions of guns you could possibly run into. I think that is Borderlands' strength. And I think that the voice work also is a great asset to the game. It gives the game definite character, as does the art style. I like the new art style. But I don't like I don't like having to like run and jump and do all this platforming and finding things up and thing, and you gotta like run and jump and do all that. I don't like that. I think it detracts from Borderlands. I know you gotta kind of have it, kind of, sort of, because most shooters, they do have jump buttons and stuff, but I just don't, I don't think it should be a huge part of Borderlands.
It's not probably, it's more like it's part of the huge exploration part of it. I mean, Borderlands have so many different items in so many different places that how would you know if the same place you ran by three times that there's a weapon chest up above that building if you don't jump up there to find out?
That's true.
So, a lot of times that comes in there. But the platforming part, I guess it's under this. I guess if they didn't have that, the game would be a little boring, because then it's just be straightforward. The only reason you're jumping, and your jump skill's not really that high. Hmm. But you can't even grenade to jump. But
thank God.
But the if you didn't have that, and everyone just stayed flat and running around straight, then people really wouldn't play it, because shooters today, you got to have a jump of some kind.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't want it. I don't want Metroid in Borderlands. That's the kind of thing. I mean, I don't mind the exploration part. That part doesn't bother me. I actually like that part of Metroid in Borderlands. Because most of you have heard, I'm a huge Metroid fan, as is Jamie. But I mean, that part of Metroid I love in games, and then with the exploration and finding things and you having to track stuff down. But then, like, I really don't like, if you're gonna do jumping, like, clean up the jumping. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna make me do all this jumping, at least make it something that's enjoyable. like Metroid. Like, make the jumping enjoyable, where it's something I want to do in the game. Don't make it so that it's so hard that I really don't want to do it. That's my only problem with the jumping in and the platforming in Borderlands. But other than that, I really got no problems with the game. I have now played through it, twice with the Siren. I was on the second playthrough with the Siren the first time. I'm now on first playthrough with the Siren now. And I'm on second playthrough with my Soldier. So I've played through like 5 times now, basically. And I'm not sick of it. And I watched the game. I watched them play it a heck of a lot longer than I've been playing. So I knew more about the game before I even started playing than having to learn it. So, you know, I enjoy it though. I think it's a really good game. I think they outdid themselves with this. Gearbox outdid themselves. They got a few things they should probably work on in the second game, but nothing that's like, oh my God, I won't play this if they make another one.
I mean, like I said, I thoroughly enjoy the game. I've been playing it since February and played it with, I haven't beat the game with everyone yet, multiple times. Just finished beating the game with my Brick the other day for the first time. Going through a second playthrough, but I haven't gone through Jiro Nox yet. Or I haven't finished it with, I haven't finished it with my, with Mordecai yet either. Everyone else I have. But, I think the only problem I have with the game is, let me think. Well,
level cap.
Well, the level cap, you gotta have an end to it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying you can get up to level 999, then I don't want to see the badasses coming out to fight you.
They're gonna be like 1,000. So,
I mean, I just don't want to see it. So I can understand the level cap. My weapon proficiencies, I probably would want mine, you know, my weapon proficiency can go up. A lot of people had a problem because your weapon proficiency is based off of your experience. Whatever weapon you're using, or I should say, whether weapon is up in your hand, mm-hmm. when an enemy dies, whether you killed it or not, the experience points that you see goes towards weapon proficiency. Now, I would like if instead of just having that meter, if they have the meter and a number saying what number you get to for each level, that'd be a lot better. So then I know it's just a little speck left in this corner before I get to level 49.
And then you wind up having to fight like six people.
And I'm sitting there, it's like, well, that person was eight experience. Fine. I'll go on. Oh, I killed this badass. He's 1,200. I still didn't level up.
Yeah. So they need a numeric counter.
I mean, if they get a counter up there.
Well, they give it if to they you.
If they give a counter and a meter on there, it'd be fine.
They do. They do give you the counter, but it's on like your weapon screen when you're looking at your stuff.
No, that counter is for your level. That's for your experience. I'm talking about for the weapon proficiency.
Oh, for the proficiency. Well, I want one even for my level. Like, I want an on-screen indicator where I don't have to go into my menu to see that. Even though I go in my menu a lot to swap out weapons and stuff, like, when we go into a different area and I want to use a different weapon or something, or I'm working on a new weapon proficiency or whatever, that you can see it there, and you do see it then. But I kind of want one on screen. I know they're trying to go for the minimalistic thing, and I get that. It's completely, I like that. I really like the minimalistic thing. But give me a little number down there that says, like, 838 out of...
All RPGs do that, though. They don't show you how long you got before you level up anymore.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, we're like...
I mean, they got a meter down there. Only reason we don't see the meter is because we're playing split screen. If you're playing by yourself, you'll see the meter down there. You can tell exactly how long you got.
Well, no, I can see the meter when we play split screen. I see it. Mm-hmm. It's and as a matter of fact, my meter is at the top. Our meters are on top of each other. Yours is at the top of your screen, and mine is at the bottom of my screen. Yeah, I see my meter. Mm-hmm. It's just I like a better visual indicator of how much longer I got to go before I level up. But yes, they need something for the weapon proficiency too.
I played through the game long enough that I know if I'm level 26 and I'm fighting against creatures level 20 and I got a little bit to go, I got to fight a lot of level 20s before I get it.
I know that. Yeah.
So I just don't think about it anymore. But the weapon proficiency I would like to have because in order to be my own personal goal of superhero, to have 50s in each proficiency, it's kind of difficult to do.
Didn't your friend, didn't Scooter get that?
No.
I thought he did. He had the 50s in everything, and he was like level 61.
No. He was level 61, and with each character, because the game tells you that each character class specializes in just two weapons at best. Mm-hmm. Like Mordecai's is pistols and sniper rifle. Roland is machine guns, assault rifles is what they say, assault rifles and shotguns. Brick is rocket launchers, they say explosive weapons is all they said, which is basically rocket launchers and grenades. You have no weapon for this and grenades. And Siren is SMGs. Now, by reading that description, it thinks that you level those guns up faster than anything else.
But
it's not. It's about the same. Now, originally, it might have been that way. I didn't play the game originally when it first came out. After I got it, it was a couple updates. And I've known they changed things on the updates because I was playing the game one day and we're a completely different area. And then the next day we had an update and we couldn't go in that area anymore. It was like that area was completely blocked off. So I know they changed things in the updates.
Well, you said certain buildings you used to be able to go in and do missions and you can't do it.
Certain missions you used to go to, certain buttons you could push. So you just can't do it anymore. Now, there's no official records of it anywhere, but I've talked to too many people who've all agreed that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. They do it in the updates,
But on Borderlands, going back to what the classes said, you don't necessarily have to specialize with that weapon with those characters. They all gain their proficiency the same. Now, the difference is Mordecai, which is the hunter, might do more damage with his proficiency being at 50 as a sniper rifle versus anyone else because his proficiency percentage might be much higher when it comes to damage.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the difference. But they all level up the same way. So.
Mm. That's interesting. That's actually a very interesting concept. I hope they carry that over and
I'm sure it is. It was great.
And keep it.
That was a great formula. Everyone said it. I mean, when Gearbox released this game, before Gearbox released this game, they said it was going to be the best game ever. People are going to love to play this game. I remember someone saying it's like Fallout stuff. You got multiple people, which people said, yeah, we'll go play that. Now, other companies thought it was going to be crap, so you really didn't hear that much about Borderlands?
Until I remember reading that special in Game Informer.
Yeah. You really didn't hear that much about Borderlands until about right before it came out when, I guess, other companies had started previewing it. And then everyone started saying, you know, Borderlands commercials here and there. Before, only way you heard about Borderlands, you went on a website and everything, and they had their own little claptrap doing their commercials for them, which the claptrap really says some very strong language, so and there's strong violence in that too. So I would suggest if you got soft stomachs and tender ears, don't be watching that. But anyway, that was the only way you can find out about it. Afterwards, everyone said it was a great game because it came out, so people started buying it. So I think the next game everyone's going to be looking for, and a lot of people got sick of this Borderlands, which means they, for some reason or another, they just got tired of playing this. They're probably going to be looking for the same things in the next one, and I'm sure they're going to change some things up because that's what you're going to want to do. I mean, Halo didn't stay the same the whole time, so they're going to change some things up, and then those people are going to talk about how much it sucks. So, only thing I can say about Borderlands is on the next one, keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I enjoy Borderlands, so I hope they kind of stick with it. So, all right, well, folks, that is wrapping up our Borderlands experience. I don't know when we'll be back. We'll try to have another podcast in a couple of weeks. Just so you guys know, Gaming Insurrection is moving. We are moving our base of operations a little further in. And so we'll be a little bit out of the loop for a little bit, until probably like, it's now the beginning of August, so 2010. So we'll probably be back. We'll definitely have our update in October, but we are definitely going to be around in September. Also, keep a lookout for, as a reminder, keep a lookout for our My Borderlands write-up, which is coming this quarter, actually. I'm in the process of writing it. And so we decided we're just going to do this podcast now, just talking about Borderlands. But keep a lookout for that when we update in October 2010 for the fourth quarter 2010. And, you know, read it. Let us know what you think. Also, as usual, let us know what you think about this podcast. Hit us up at Gaming Insurrection. And that's gaming_insurrection@gaminginsurrection.com. Gaminginsurrection.com does not have the underscore. Or you can hit me up at editor@gaminginsurrection.com, no underscore. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.